Yeah, you can do the meetings. This is what council is supposed to.
So I hear the question made, this being a problem, who the landscape architects provided some evidence in relation to the the comments in Kiwi Drive site and Kiwi Drive site. And I also have with me Mr. Dan Crookshank from ATR Properties, who has provided a supplementary form to conclusive of my Kiwi Drive evidence. So Dan, Mr. Crookshank's with me to answer any questions in relation to the history of that site, if there are any. So I have summarised my evidence, grouping all three sites together. We've also got Boys Crescent in Clinton. So I thought what we should do is perhaps go through the Vancouver Drive and Kerry Drive, then address Boys Crescent at the end. So if we start with, if you do have any questions for Mr. Crookshank in relation to Vancouver Drive especially.
When did we get a supplementary
evidence? Yes. I formed Appendix F to my
evidence.
Oh. Right. I don't want that thing.
That's a good question.
I don't have a question actually. You might be the right one to ask it. Has there been a subdivision plan done for the whole of the property?
Only drive plans at this stage to output the council's review of the site. So, no full subdivision plan, it's just initial concept drawings at this stage.
Have you any sense of the number of lots it will generate based on the medium density zoning?
It depends. The plans looked at a couple of combinations, one low density in general, a second with a portion of medium density, higher concentration in the middle on some of the flatter ground, and then some more pockets of higher density towards the bottom of the site. And the effect of being able to stretch the zoning out to the boundaries, it provided anywhere between I think half a dozen extra sites and a dozen sites roughly, and that was, we're just looking at low density lots, so with medium density potentially more again than that, but they were just early concept drawings to help with the pricing work that was being undertaken.
There was evidence between on the Sullivan's part and on about the yield and about the difference it would make, and the numbers looked rather high to me.
Okay.
But also they didn't agree. So
right.
If you've done something concrete, can we see it? Can you tell us? Or
I don't have plans for me to that, sorry. If that's something that can be circulated afterwards, I'd be happy to provide those.
Is it useful?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that would be useful.
Sure.
Thank you. It helps to assess. It helps to have something concrete.
Yeah.
To think through what the effects are, especially on landscape.
Mm.
Thank you.
Sure. This is the panel. Go ahead. I do have some a summary of my edits. If that's suitable, I can pass it around, or I can just speak to it. Emma?
Hey.
I might just summarize this without having to go through everything and just keep it quite plain. Essentially, we're looking to rezone 1.5 hectares of an 8.85 hectare site, and that ends up being about 17% of the fringe of the site that isn't already zoned medium density residential. This site is currently part of a landscape character which extends from the urban areas of Queenstown up the more natural slopes of Queenstown Hill. And the existing zoning would potentially allow for development to occur on that skyline ridge as viewed from the center of Queenstown. I think Dr. Marion Reed and I are both in agreement that the existing zoning will have some effects on the natural character, but that the proposed extension to the zone, the edge of that, those cadastral boundaries, would have a negligible effect on the landscape's natural character beyond what's already anticipated by the existing zoning.
More of an observation, Mr. Chair, because I looked at the photos and I looked at the site and it can't be developed without being visible, can it?
No.
So it's not a case of it being visible or not visible, it's a question of cumulative effect based on what's there.
That's right.
And an issue for me has been in this hearing, Mr. Skelton, has been the treatment of the transition between ONLs and urban zonings. And Dr. Reed takes the view that it's brutal. I think that's the way of putting it. And I think this will be an example of that. There's no way to manage a transition in situations like this. You just keep nibbling away at the ONL as the urban development creeps up the hill.
Yes, the alternative is to then have more rural type development, I suppose, so you have a slower transition. It's not just a hard urban edge into a more natural. You have more sort of a suburban and a broken up lesser development. In my experience, I think that oftentimes ONLs that live in highly natural environments, when they meet the hard urban edge, that's almost a good definition. It's easy to provide a clear separation of characters. We've taken that approach in places in Auckland as well, where there's high areas of high indigenous vegetation values and natural values, and the urban edge, even high density residential, meets that edge. And if people can actually appreciate the natural environment a bit more, it does reach that urban edge. I think that in terms of development, when it is developed, there is a way that you can be more sensitive to that transition in terms of using natural materials, like you will see above in the commonage area. Lots more timber and stone, that sort of provides a better context for that natural transition. And my observation of this site too is that the upper, less vegetated slopes, or not even slopes, but the flatter, higher elevations of Queenstown Hill, they show off the landform a bit more, and it's more easy to see what the natural landform is there, and that is the most valued, the highest level of natural character on Queenstown Hill. As you come down lower, you end up with the wild and conifer, lots of exotic vegetation. And while that is, through many people's cultural lens, highly natural, people have an understanding of the quality of that vegetation can take a different approach or have a different understanding.
Please. Wild and it's been removed, which is highly likely, would your opinion remain the same in terms of the relationship between the buildings and the ONL?
In the immediate term, no, because that would be quite the tracks that we take to go in there to clear that vegetation, or if you just felt it would be, because a lot of the smaller vegetation that can do good gyprosma, fist worm, and things that are already underneath some of that vegetation, would remain if all the trees just came down. But in, say, 5 to 10 years, especially if managed properly, that landscape could become just as natural as it is now, if not even have higher natural values.
Alongside this rezoning request, Sabina Sedamano also seeks that the urban growth boundary be extended to encompass the entire subject site, and the outstanding natural landscape line is moved to exclude the subject site. The request is supported by Council's reporting officer as outlined in the relevant section of the 42A report. The extended zoning will enable the site to be developed to maximise its potential development yield, consequently boosting value for future infrastructure projects. As detailed in the supplementary evidence prepared by Mr. Sam Crookshank, which is appended to my evidence in chief, the outcome will achieve the original objectives of the Queenstown Reserve's Heston and Powering Act 1971, which released this land for future development as a mechanism to finance infrastructure necessary to support tourism within the region. In her rebuttal evidence, Ms. Rosalind Desmond notes that there is general alignment between the evidence pre-lodged on behalf of Sabina Sedamano and the expert evidence of council with respect to this rezoning request for the site. And I agree with that observation. I'm just listening to the discussion we've had today. I do note that there's also designation 374 over the forestry, which is anticipated that it will be harvested at some point in time, at least under that designation.
Commissioner Crawford, do you have any questions?
On the evidence in chief, I did. I want to follow up the capacity in yield figures.
Yeah.
I think in your evidence in chief, around about paragraphs 45 and 46. First of all, have you seen the plans that Mr. Crookshank has?
No.
No, okay. So when you did your calculation, and I think you say I think Ms. Devlin calculated there would be an additional 51 units, and I think you're saying 62. How did you do your calculation?
Yeah, so it's very raw, and it doesn't, obviously there will be topographical constraints, but I just divided the 1.5 hectares. It was very raw. Divided that by 250 square metres. I also can't remember where it was. I think it was in the strategic directions summary of evidence somewhere. Can't remember, I'm sorry. But it put forward the council's calculation.
They had a formula.
They had a formula, and I applied that as well, which was 32%, I think it was, for roading and infrastructure, etc., and took that away. And I think from memory, I came up with 44 lots.
Lots, not units, because that was where I was going. Well, so Crookshank's talking about lots.
I think lots and units are the same, if I recall.
Because you've done it at 1 to 250 square metres.
Yeah, for the medium density. Sorry.
For the medium density, okay, right, yeah.
Yeah.
So some number, we will find that. Thank you. And
I might be able to comment further on that. What's he done? I'm be able to help elaborate between the different kind of numbers.
It's a bit fun. It's not a big deal. Just, you know, one of the things about capacity enablement is that a result is more likely to be achieved where the land is vacant and it can be developed. So I want to know that if this is all medium density, it's going to happen. So that's good. I'll just have a look at that. That was it, Mr. Chair.
Just following on from that, given that every unit can have a residential flat as a right, what's the propensity of units in these sorts of developments to have a residential flat in your experience?
In the medium density zone, I haven't come across personally in my experience. I have come across examples in under the ODP, a unit and a flat in the medium density zone in the Fern Hill area. People want to, yes, I have experienced that people want to capitalize off.
So the density could be increased within that, because of that.
I'll just take one more. Oh, I did have one other question. Sorry, I didn't follow up my own question. One of the other aspects of the capacity assessment is traffic lights. Ms. Wendy Banks at the 752 units would be the extra. If you're saying less, that's fine. If you're saying more, the question is that significant in traffic too? Do you know?
I can't comment. I don't know. But I would say I would assume the discrepancy. Again, it's going to be my calculations were very raw and it doesn't take into account geographical constraints, etc. But I would assume that the discrepancy of 10 units wouldn't be significant, but that would be a question for the Swindy units.
Thanks. No.
Can I have one, please? That's right. So I just thought I'd mention that the initial zoning, the boundary, our understanding of why the boundary sits where it does now is that that was done way before any of the actual freehold title was considered. That might come across from Doc. And so it's really what arbitrarily drawn there as it currently stands. When it came across, this extra freehold was able to be sought. So if it was being drawn after the fact, I suspect that it would have aligned with the boundary. But it was just the...
What was the timing of it coming off?
What was the timing of it coming over? I put that in the overview. Essentially, it started back in 2004. And it took some time to come through the works. So approval, it actually transferred over last year. But the process commenced with council's notification in 2004. Citing that area was a benefit on the landscape. And I'll circulate the hypothetical drawings, but it's also worthwhile noting that some of the development up there has been on larger lots, and particularly around the boundary, the initial plans that councils had done don't look at high density or medium density right at those fringes because of the steepness. It's sort of assumed that a developer might make a few larger lots in those areas. So that's reflected in the plans we've seen through.
So the council's not intending to develop it itself?
There's no intention at this time.
Thank you.
So let's move on to Kerry Drive.
Yeah.
I will read off this summary because there's a bit more information in it. This site, the Kira Drive site, exists on the mid to upper northern edge of Queen Sand Hills residential areas. It is a steep, irregular-shaped parcel of land, which is 4,282 square meters, an area that contains mature exotic trees. It acts as a wedge of open land between existing urban development, and a pedestrian path passes through the existing low-density residential portion of the site. 1,943 square meters, which is actually 45% of the site, is proposed to be zoned rural, while the balance of the site is proposed to be zoned LDR. The submission seeks to rezone all of the site low-density residential, which would also require the shifting of the urban growth boundary, as the outstanding natural landscape category boundary, and push it a bit to the north. There's currently a reserve designation over the site, and as I understand, the removal of this status would be subject to future public consultation. The landscape matters contained within the PDP Objectives and Policies Chapter 4, Urban Development, as I read them, are generally concerned with the effects of urban development on the natural environment, rural amenity, and landscape values. These objectives and policies generally seek to achieve a sensitive transition between urban and rural areas, provide for development which enhances public access to reserves and open spaces, and to protect valued landscape features. I consider that the subject site makes a very small contribution to the natural backdrop of Queenstown, and the portions of land which are proposed to be zoned rural offer very little in terms of visual amenity in the context of a wider visible landscape. In granting this relief, the urban and rural character of Queenstown Hill and the visual amenity the hill provides will experience a negligible adverse effect. I understand that as part of future public consultation to change the reserve status and at subdivision application, there's opportunity to maintain public pedestrian right-of-way through the site and to allow for alternative access to the Queenstown Hill track. In my evidence in chief, I provided options for alternative pedestrian linkages to the Queenstown Hill reserve area. This alternative access would bring forth the threshold of users' natural experience to a lower elevation and present an opportunity for the public to better access another part of the reserve, which at this stage is fairly underutilized. Council's consultant landscape architect, Dr. Marion Reed, opposes this submission because she says the site provides considerable amenity for the residential development in the vicinity. As I understand, her central concern is that in granting the relief sought, the existing pedestrian link between Maligan Street and Kira Drive would be lost. This path passes through the area, the already zoned low-density residential portion of the site. I consider that the relief sought would result in a very low decrease in the amenity of the surrounding residential area, and that the link through the site can be maintained through future applications and consultation. I consider that in granting the relief, the urban and rural character of Queenstown Hill and the visual amenity the hill provides will experience a negligible change.
Now, my question, if I may just on the photograph of the attachment B, I wish you'd like to put a finger on the spot where the path is.
Where the path is?
Yes.
Yeah.
We've been there and we've walked the path, but looking at it from here, exactly where.
It comes up to Kira Drive, pretty much where that arrow is. It's very close to...
An attachment B, which arrow?
Where it says subject site. Do you have this? Is that what we're looking at?
Yes.
Yes. So there's an arrow that comes straight up, and I've tried to place that where I think the trail comes up. When you're there, it does come in on that further north part of the top part of the site.
That's what I think. Yeah. Then I've got it fixed. I have no questions.
Okay. I'm just wondering whether this is a situation where the reserve status is to be altered, whether the underlying zoning and the reserve status should be dealt with at the same time, given the effects are essentially a landscape effect in this instance. Would that be fair comments or something?
In terms of the process, I think it's probably outside of my realm of expertise. It's a bit of a planning issue there. That's what I would.
Are you saying it's of no value as a reserve?
I'm saying
within your area of expertise, isn't it?
Yeah, no, that's not what I'm saying. It is the value is a reserve. That more northern part. I think my interpretation of what would happen if we were to revoke that reserve status, that there would be opportunity to allow the public to better access that part of the reserve. At the moment, there are a lot of pirate trails and things that are being formed through there, but there's no real legal right-of-way, as I understand, through that site.
Well, it's a reserve, you don't need a legal right-of-way, you walk through it. How about that?
Right, yeah.
Okay, the other question I had, have you got the planning maps?
I have enough here, yes.
Simply be the rezoning of all of a site which has got 519 written in the middle of it, wouldn't it? So, from your view on having that thin sliver on the site to the northeast remaining as ONL in zone rural.
I think what that's providing, especially if you look at my image B, is it is providing a finger of natural character to penetrate the more urban area.
So you're saying that there's none of that finger applies on this land?
No, it does. Yes, it certainly applies on this land. A lot of the larger portion of that finger would be retained, even if we were to developed to the very edge of the site as the zoning would allow. So there is still quite a bit of natural character and vegetation in that reserve outside of this 509 site that would exist below the existing apartments of the Cumbridge and between that and the development that's on Turner or Anderson Heights and Allegan Street.
Would that thin sliver be a landscape?
Not in its own right, but it would be part of the landscape.
Pretty part of the urban landscape, I think. That's the dominant landscape in that area.
I think we could almost draw a line through and separate where the natural landscape of Queenstown Hill and the urban landscape of Queenstown Hill are separate. They are two separate landscapes, and they're defined by that urban development.
Right. So what we're saying then is if we were to agree to this request and the reserve status was removed, then that boundary of that landscape would change essentially, notwithstanding what we did, because the more urban we put into that corner. Is that it?
That's true.
Yes. Okay. Thank you.
Is zoned part local to residential in part rural with the residential. The relief sought by a submitted 7 landowners to expand the local to residential zone to align pedestrian boundaries with the site. The site is classified as a local purpose reserve for beautification purposes pursuant to Section 16 of the Reserves Act. Within the PDP, the site is also identified as proposed designation 519, with its special purpose also being local purpose reserve beautification. As it stands, the subject site is subject to the provisions of the Reserve Act. Should the subject site's reserve status change at any point in the future, I consider it to be more efficient for the underlying zoning of the site to reflect the nature of the adjoining residential section. This submission is not preempting the verification of any reserve status relating to the subject site, as this would be subject to a separate assessment, including public consultation under the Reserves Act. A pedestrian trail through the site links Malagoon Street and Kerry Drive. I note that this trail is largely within the existing low density residential portion of the site. At paragraph 8.2 of Council's rebuttal evidence, Ms. Rosalind Devlin states that she considers this trail should be retained. I note that no mechanism for ensuring public access through the site is offered. In my view, given the existing trail is largely located within the low density residential portion of the site, under both the ODP and notified PDP, the rezoning request will have little effect on the existing issue of maintaining access. In my opinion, maintaining public access through the site would be more appropriately addressed should the council seek to revoke the reserve status of this piece of land under the Reserves Act. At this time, a process of public consultation will be carried out, providing the opportunity for nearby residents, visitors and commuters to put their opinions forward. If approved, there is an opportunity to maintain pedestrian access through the site, such as through the creation of an easement.
In paragraph 21, you say that more efficient for the underlying zoning to reflect the nature of the adjoining sites. If that's the case, why hasn't the council sought that for all its reserves in the district? I can think of thousands of instances of zones of land, totally within urban areas, but nonetheless in the rural. Why this one?
I guess the reason I stated that was because in this instance, the council has identified it, it still has to go through the process of revoking the reserve classification, but it has potential for development.
So, essentially, what we're looking at is getting the underlying zoning in place so you can revoke the reserve status and develop.
Is an option?
I think more than an option. Otherwise, the council wouldn't be putting so much effort in terms of changing the underlying zoning. I'm just wondering whether the Trojan horse, if you like, creates an unfairness to the public by having the process of just changing the underlying zoning and the district plan, and then which essentially creates a preemption when the Reserves Act renewals.
I suppose there's not many other sites. There will be some, but there's not a huge amount of reserves in the district that has in residential zones that reflects the zoning, I guess.
Well, the council could have sought the underlying zoning to be changed to rural. It didn't do that, though, did it?
No.
And I understand also that the council is proposing to bring in the zoning for all of its reserves open space.
Yeah, I've heard that.
Would this piece of land be included in that variation?
I'm not sure because I'm not part of the process at the moment.
Well, wouldn't that be the appropriate time if the council approved it to rezone all of its reserves? To deal with this one and identify it at that time as potentially being different from all the rest.
Well, I guess it's part of the process of identifying the open space zone for all the reserves. Each site would be assessed and this process will be gone through. I think in this case, the subject site has been recognised that it does have development potential.
Is that really true, or is the zoning urban growth boundaries in that area just a set of lines that are never caught up with the reality? I mean, it's pretty obvious that they don't follow that actual boundaries on this side or the adjoining sides.
Yes.
Or on the north side, Belfast Terrace, even. But aren't those lines equally likely to be a mistake?
Well,
in the whole area rather than the residents be zoning on the line is very carefully chosen.
I think the zoning is just before the sites were created. I mean, I don't find this issue.
That was my point.
Yeah.
Probably been there since 1995. So no thought was actually given to zoning of both instant residential or rural in the proposed plan was made. And so the one area, one type of thought has been given to the zoning, the reserves would be around the open space zoning as applied. Wouldn't that be the appropriate time to identify the ones where the council and teams maybe would remove the reserve status and zoning the well, instant residential?
That would be, that would also be given the opportunity at this time to look at the instant submission. But more holistically speaking, in terms of the list, that's what I agree with you.
In the reference in chief of paragraph 45, you comment that the cadastral boundaries of the site would be about nearly 2,000 square metres, with no rural land with no development potential. The reason for it not having development potential?
Because it wouldn't meet the minimum requirements for the residential unit. It wouldn't be big enough. And you'd have to go through that process.
If it was part of the, was it 4-odd hectares, would it then be possible to put a house in this location?
Sorry,
isn't it part of the bigger property that is about 4 hectares, or have I got that wrong? 4.28 hectares.
4,282.
Oh, okay. No, yeah. That's where I made a mistake. I wrote the wrong thing down. Okay, get that line up, Kristen.
Can I just see here? If the rural zoning stays, there would be a discretionary activity to have a building platform on that area, wouldn't it?
Under the PUP?
Yes.
But I can't remember what the minimum allotment size is.
There isn't a minimum allotment, is there?
Yes.
So there is development potential?
Yes. You do have 4.
It was strange, because I couldn't imagine a lot not being allowed to be used.
Yes, the minimum size for the building platform from the memory is 400 square metres.
Yeah, I think what I meant was there was no, it couldn't be developed as a right.
Yes, a big discretion.
Well, hang on, let me just look at that then.
But it would, I think being designated, it would have, if the requiring authority wanted to put a building on there, but not for residential purposes, a building would have some rights under it.
Yes. I was only asking about the rural zoning because I couldn't quite understand what you were saying.
I think I need it to as a right to develop rights.
In paragraph 46, you make a statement that I just like to push the boundaries on.
Okay.
The extension of the low density zone to align with the boundaries of the site will provide land for residential development and increased densities, playing a key role in minimising urban sprawl and increasing housing supply. Have they not over-egging the story somewhat? Like, you know, one or two more houses?
Yeah, I think it was 6, wasn't it?
How about, you know, this is negligible, and it has to be negligible, almost the skeleton's evidence doesn't stand.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Yes, and I think that relates to what you're saying in your evidence in chief at paragraph 5, where you say you agree with Mr. Skelton, who considers that the more natural character of the rural zone portions of the site is insignificant in the scale of the wider context. Surely you would say the same thing about the housing that's insignificant in the context of the wider, insignificant in the scale of the wider context of the development. Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay, that's a better alignment. That's it, Mr. Chair, thank you. Mm-hmm. You're the best.
So just, listening to the discussion, it's worthwhile commenting that the big reserve block next door is Kerry Drive. Now, that used to be a freehold that council switched with the commonage block. Mm. So council provided that there could have been substantial development next door, and it's now off the table. And the only other thing I've noted is that looking at the plan, now what stuck out with this site earlier to us was that it was one of the few in town that doesn't have an underlying zoning consistent with its neighbours. Mm-hmm. So there were quite a few hot parts we recorded throughout Queenstown Hill that are all zoned by density residential. Earnsville Park, even in the town centre, it's town centre zoning. So it's not on its own in that regard. It wouldn't be on its own. Thank you.
Would it be fair to say that that corner actually needs a bit of reviewing, not just of this site, but of the adjoining sites as to where the zone boundaries are? Would that be your feeling, Ms. Holden?
I would, yeah, I'd be agree with that.
I could provide this as supplementary evidence, but I just sketched over it just to try and answer, clarify some of the things.
Mm-hmm. Does that actually show us where the trail goes?
It doesn't show you where the trail goes, but it gives a better indication of where the site is and what part is already is rural and what where I consider the L&L is. And I can provide this as supplementary in a better,
that might be useful,
more visible form. It's, if you hold it up, it's easier to see because it's quite a dark photograph.
Right.
And the darker shade is where the reserve status is currently.
Oh, gosh.
It would be useful if you did that as supplementary with the
shows up
one actual.
Yes, it shows more visible. Would you like me to put where I think the landscape transition line is as well?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Residential zone over subject site is zoned rural general within the operative district plan, which the proposed district plan proposes to continue. In addition, the site is classified as a recreation reserve pursuant to Section 16 of the Reserves Act, and is also designated as a recreation reserve under designation 156 in the ODP. And this was rolled over into the PUD as well. The requested rezoning of the subject site does not preempt the revocation of any reserve status, which will be subject to a further process under the Reserve. The subject site is also located within the Queenstown Airport ground control boundary. It is my understanding that the location of the OCB was updated as part of the Plan Change 35, the purpose of which was to put in place an appropriate management regime for managing land use around the Queenstown Airport while providing for the predicted ongoing growth of aircraft operations to that of the OCB. The OCB indicates geographic threshold whereby aircraft noise from airport operations should not exceed 55 decibels at or beyond this noise contour. I am of the understanding that the New Zealand Standard on Airport Noise Management and Land Use Planning recommends that any residential dwellings, schools, hospitals, or other activities sensitive to aircraft noise should be prohibited within the OCD unless the district plans permit such use. As the subject site has an underlying zoning of rural within the ODP and notified PDP, no development rights insofar as establishing a residential unit exists. It is prohibited to construct a residential unit inside the OCB within the rural zone. However, the PDP as notified permits residential units to be located within the OCB of the low-density residential zone, so long as buildings or building alterations containing an asset are designed to achieve an indoor design sound level of 40 decibels within any critical listening environment. These requirements are outlined in Notified Rule 7.5.4 and are consistent with the New Zealand Standard. I note that at paragraph 4.8 of Ms. Kimberly Banks' rebuttal evidence, Ms. Banks considers the subject site's requested zoning to low-density residential is consistent with the intent of PC 35, and that rezoning the subject site could only enable one additional residential unit, but if appropriately insulated, as provided by Rule 7.4.9 and Standard 7.5.4 within the Council's required version. Further intensification is also limited by Rule 7.4.9. I concur with Ms. Banks' assessment. Additionally, it is my view that given the context of this subject site, the adjoining sites to the east, west and south, which are residential in nature, rezoning this portion of the subject site to low density is more compatible with the surrounding zoning than the notified rural zoning. This is supported by the Council's reporting officer as outlined within the relevant Section 42A report and rebuttal evidence. In my opinion, the relief sought in this rezoning request gives effect to the purpose and principles contained within Part 2 of the IMA in that it promotes the sustainable management of natural and physical resources in a way that enables people and communities to provide for their social, economic, and health and well-being and for their health and safety. Of any future residential unit being located within the OCB can be adequately mitigated by meeting the required acoustic insulation standards outlined within the PDP and the New Zealand Standard. As such, rezoning this piece of land will contribute to meeting the foreseeable needs of present and future generations, particularly given the housing pressures the district is currently facing. No precedent will be made outside of the district plan review given the prohibited activity status within the PDP to develop rural zone land within the OCB. Further, the acoustic insulation requirements of the New Zealand Standard, which have been reflected within the provisions of the PDP, will ensure that Queenstown Airport is protected from reverse sensitivity effects while maintaining residential energy. As such, it is my view that rezoning of this part of the subject site to low density residential balances the interests of the airport with those of the community. In summary, the extension of the low-density residential zone over the subject site has better reflects anticipated residential use of the surrounding area if the reserve classification of the subject site is either to be revoked. Rezoning this portion of the subject site is logical and consistent with the zoning of the future properties.
I'm interested that in this instance, you were suggesting that rezoning part of the site is appropriate, and yet when you were dealing with Kerry Drive, one of the primary reasons you supported the rezoning there was so that it matched the cadastral boundaries. Mm-hmm. Can you reconcile those two divergent views for me, please?
Sure. It's my understanding that in the future, if the reserve status was ever to be revoked, then that section of land is similar in size and shape to the adjoining residential properties. It would likely be subdivided to be freehold title. And wouldn't be part of the subject site, I think we want that.
So the other question I should ask you, mentioned that have you seen and considered the rebuttal evidence of Mr. Carl in respect to the submission?
I think it's just one unit that has considered that, and then like just one unit within the ICB.
Is that why you addressed the OCB for something the supplementary? It was going to be a line of questioning for me to do with readings and checks because it's a gap.
Yeah, that is exactly why I addressed it.
Thank you.